إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Him, we depend on Him, and we seek His forgiveness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the evils of our hearts and from our bad deeds. Verily, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides someone, no one can misguide him. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguides someone, then no one can guide him. I bear witness that no one is worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his last messenger. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما Brothers in Islam, Hajj or the pilgrimage is the last among those acts of worship which Islam enjoins upon you, like the prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. It mounts your life and prepares you so that you may live in surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word Hajj means to make a resolve to visit a holy place. Visiting the Kaaba in Mecca is therefore called Hajj. How did it begin? The origin of Hajj is rooted in the Prophet Ibrahim's life, peace be on him. That story is illustrative of the true meaning and significance of Hajj. That story you must know to fully understand the benefits Hajj can bring to you. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى واتقون يا أولي الألباب means the pilgrimage shall take place in the month appointed for it, and whoever undertakes the pilgrimage in those months shall, while on pilgrimage, abstain from lewd speech, from all wicked conduct, and from quarreling, and whatever good you may do, God is aware of it, and make provision for yourselves. But verily, the best of all provisions is God conscious. Remain then conscious of me, O you who are endowed with insight. Hajj is an epic journey on three levels: geography, history, and self-discovery. First, there is the geographic level. It is a journey from your home to Mecca and Medina, to those desert lands where the story of Islam began, and towards which we turn our faces in prayer. Secondly, Hajj is a journey through history. We visit the place where Prophet Abraham built the first mosque, and where God asked him to sacrifice what he loved most dearly. This was where both Abraham and his beloved son Ismail obeyed God's command without flinching and without resistance, because of their implicit obedience to a divine command. God substituted a lamb for human sacrifice, and Ishmael's life was spared. When we celebrate Eid al-Adha, the festival of the sacrifice, we remember Abraham's willingness to obey God, even to sacrifice his most beloved son. We remember that as God's servant, we too must obey him without question and without hesitation. We must be prepared to give up whatever else beside God is so near and dear to us. Hajj takes us on an historical journey beyond Abraham, way back to the beginning of the human story, to the time of Adam and Eve. The highlight of the Hajj is therefore the gatherings of more than 3 million pilgrims on the plain of Arafat, at the foot of Jabal Rahma, the Mount of Mercy. Pilgrims pray and supplicate, asking forgiveness for their sins and rededicate themselves to a life of obedience to God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here is where Adam and Eve were forgiven for their original sin. The first act of human disobedience was forgiven here on the Mount of Mercy. It is therefore fitting that every year, from the beginning to the end of human history, pilgrims should make their journey to seek forgiveness for their own sin in the same place where the first sin was forgiven. It is therefore also a supreme expression of hope that despite all our human frailties and transgressions, there is always time for sincere repentance and for the mending of errant ways. Hajj is not only a journey through geography and history. It is perhaps most importantly an inward journey to our own center, to the human heart, not the physical heart that pumps blood through our veins. I mean the spiritual heart, the locus of our personality. What emotions, what desires, ambitions, and obsessions lurk in the innermost recesses of the spiritual heart? By traveling to the Kaaba, the center of Islam, the focal point of the Qibla, the directional axis for all our prayers, we have also made a journey inwards. to our own Kaaba and Qibla of the human heart are those ambitions, desires, and innermost longings really worthy of true servant of God? Are we focused on the right priorities beyond selfishness and bitterness? What is our real place in this great drama of life around us? What is our place in the whole cosmic scheme of things? Where have we come from and where are we going to? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Says the Holy Quran, from Allah have we come and to Him is our return. Hajj is also a reminder of death. Every pilgrim is wrapped in two sheets of plain white cloth with no swing, no stitches. These are the same sheets of cloth that will cover us when we are buried. In a way, we are on pilgrimage wearing a burial shroud. This is the only time we will wrap ourselves in our own shroud. When we die, someone else will do the wrapping for us. It is a humbling and sobering experience. When you look around you, you see more than 3 million people, all dressed exactly the same, in two sheets of plain white cloth. You cannot tell the difference between a state president and a regular employee, a millionaire and a cleaner. You can only see yourself and your fellow pilgrims exactly as God sees all of us, stripped of all our pretensions, stripped of all our designer clothes and our outward signs of wealth, nationalities, cultures, social status. On Hajj, we see one another as we really are, individual human souls, distinguishable only by the beauty of their heart and the content of their character. In the final analysis, this is all that matters. Hajj is a chance for us to take stock of ourselves, to examine our hearts, our emotions, our ambitions, our desires. What is the driving force in our lives? Hajj reminds us that our earthly life is short and it should be spent on good works, serving all God's children purely out of love for Him and gratitude to Him. If only we would sit down and reflect on our good fortune, we have so much to thank Him for. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. We complain that we don't have nice shoes till we see someone living happily without any feet. We can be so ungrateful. God is infinitely generous and He deserves our love and gratitude. He created everyone and everything, and we are His trustees. We are answerable to Him. When we treat people of other faiths with respect, we do so as a courtesy to Him. And when we are disrespectful or abusive to others, we offend God. Hajj has some important lessons for us in these difficult times. We can learn a great deal from studying the life and times of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He performed one time Hajj and delivered a memorable sermon in which he declared that all believers are brothers of one another and that there was no superiority of one race or one people over another. The only distinction between people is their good deeds. The highest and the noblest of us are those who serve others selflessly, out of love and gratitude to God. Muslims must always ask themselves, how much have I added to the sum total of human happiness? How much have I removed from the burdens of human misery and despair? My life must count for something. Each day, my life must count for something. Today, we can hardly open a newspaper or turn on a radio or a TV without hearing more bad news about Islam and the Muslims. We find conflicting and contradictory messages. Islam is peace, Islam is violent. Muslims are sometimes okay, Muslims are terrorists. Some people even attack Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the most hateful and offensive language. Our response should be modeled on his own example. He was always dignity and humility personified. He knew that his conduct would be studied and emulated for all times to come. When he was abused, insulted, and physically injured, he remained calm, dignified, and completely self-assured. He spoke to his detractors with kindness and wisdom, never in anger, never ill-tempered. He knew that he was safe in God's hand. He knew that relief and God's mercy always follows temporary hardship. Our apparent misfortunes are merely a test and trial from Allah. Those who spread hateful lies about Islam and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam should consider what Jesus said. When Prophet Jesus, peace and blessing on him, delivered his sermon on the mount, he said, "By their fruits shall you know them. Do men gather grapes from thorns?" He was describing the difference between the true prophets and the false prophets. False prophets do not produce wholesome fruit. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not come to start a new religion. He came to reconfirm the original faith of monotheism, tawheed, divine unity, the true faith of Abraham and Moses and Jesus. May God bless all of them. We have had the Old Testament and the New Testament. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought us the last testament, the Holy Quran, the final divine revelation, a clear reaffirmation of divine unity, pure, uncompromising monotheism. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the seal of the prophets, and there will be no new revelations after the Holy Quran. Islam is indeed the last bus home. Look to the empire of faith that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam established. And what fruit do you see? You know, faith does not enter the heart of anyone without improving it and beautifying it. This is true of individuals, and it's also true of communities and nations. Wherever Islam went in the world, it raised that society to a higher level of civilization. Look over the past 1,400 years to the history of Arabia, Africa, Spain, India, Persia, Turkey, Central Asia, and Indonesia. Ask yourself, what were these lands like before Islam and after Islam? In every case, you will see that there was a dramatic improvement. Arabia itself was a rich place before Islam. Wild Bedouin tribes worshipped idols, waged endless blood feuds, oppressed their women, and buried their daughters alive. The Roman and Persian empires regarded them as so contemptible that they weren't even worthy of conquest. Islam transformed those desert Arabs unto the leaders of the world civilization. They carried this faith from Spain to India. Muslim Spain enjoyed a golden age of over 700 years, from the 8th to the 15th century. India under the Mughals gave us splendid architecture and incomparable Taj Mahal. Turkey shone brilliantly under the Ottomans. Under Muslim rule, nations prospered. Science, art, poetry, music, philosophy, mathematics, and technology flourished. Diverse communities lived together in peace and mutual respect. Religious and cultural diversity was celebrated long before anything comparable came to Europe. In Spain, it was known as convivencia, living together in harmony, and we are talking here from 711 CE till 1492. Nations had nothing to fear from a Muslim presence. Indeed, during the Tang Dynasty, the Chinese Emperor Yang Wei was so impressed with the honesty and integrity of Muslim traders on the Silk Route that he decreed that a great mosque should be built in central Canton, known as the Memorial Mosque. It still stands today. After 1,400 years, brothers and sisters, you can see that our illustrious ancestors were inspirational role model that shone as beacons of light in the darkness. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his illustrious companions and 1,400 years of good examples can show us the way. Are we ready for the challenge? Despite all the plans of those who seek to harm us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a way of completing his plan. There is a law of unintended consequences. Those who seek to harm Islam today may well find their children and grandchildren embracing it tomorrow. The pagan Arabs tried to kill Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and destroy his message of monotheism, but their efforts were fruitless. They and their children in time accepted the same religion they hated. The same happened to the descendants of Genghis Khan, who became the Mughals emperors of India. In the Holy Quran, God says that he will not allow the unbelievers to blow out his light. If people try to destroy what is good and beautiful, they usually end up destroying themselves or loving what they hated before. So let's not lose heart. You and I have only to remain truthful and steadfast. History is in good hands. The planets will stay in their orbit, and the universe is safe in God's loving care. We should not give up hope, and we should not give in to despair and desperation. These hard times are merely a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a test of our character and endurance. This is how he tested all of his prophets and messengers. None of them had an easy life, and their faith and forbearance is a beacon, light for us, an inspiration and guidance for all times. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أدعو الله عسى أن تكون هذه ساعة إجابة. Supplicate, may Allah accept our supplication at this time. Alhamdulillah. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. حج, the pilgrimage to Mecca, is an epic journey, a journey of a lifetime. It is also a summation of the dramatic story of our faith. It is a journey that reminds us about our primordial human nature, the fitrah, innocence, purity, about human forgetfulness that leads us to sinful and shameful deeds. But it's also about redemption, divine mercy, and forgiveness. Hajj teaches us about sacrifice, about loving Allah more than anyone or anything else, just like Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam did. Prophet Ibrahim, peace and blessing on him, was ready to sacrifice his own beloved son Ismail alayhi salam and earned himself the honorable title of Khalilullah, the friend of Allah. Hajj takes us on a journey back through times, retelling the moral and spiritual history of humanity. We visit the Kaaba, the first place of worship, built before the first church or temple or synagogue. Here we find ourselves at the Baytullah al-Haram, the house of Allah. It is the home of monotheism, the cradle of Tawheed, of divine unity. Here we walk around the geographical center of Islam, the Kaaba, center of our Islamic universe. Our tawaf symbolizes effort, action, in a constant circular motion centered around a fixed and immovable idea of unity, Tawheed, unity of belief, unity of purpose amidst a diversity of opinions and different starting points. The great plains of Arafat becomes the stage for a dramatic role play of the very beginning and the very end. Long before time and space existed, long before the Big Bang, 14 billion years ago, Allah created your soul and my soul and the souls of every human being that ever was and ever will be. Then he asked them to testify according to themselves by declaring the first shahada, the first covenant. This was in the state of metaphysical or pre-eternal time, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the assembled gathering of human souls. He asked them, Alastu Rabbikum? Am I not your Lord? And they all answered together in one thunderous voice, Bala, yes, indeed, you are. We testify to this so that we have no excuse on the Day of Judgment to say that we were not aware of this covenant. Arafat is also a dress rehearsal for the Day of Judgment, Yawm al-Qiyamah. In our simple ihram clothes, we cannot distinguish anyone, wealth or social status. Allah is only concerned with who is best in their deeds, who is best in their moral and ethical behavior. Jabal Rahmah, the Mount of Mercy, a low hill rising above the plain of Arafat. Jabal Rahmah signifies the central theme of atonement, forgiveness. After we have acknowledged our sins and pleaded for Allah's mercy, here we follow the Adamic role model. Here we stand not simply as Muslims or believers, here we stand as Bani Adam, descendants of Adam and Eve. Here is where the first human beings sought forgiveness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. This is the same prayer of Nabi Adam alayhi salam. Adam and Eve, Allah's peace and blessing on them both. Our Lord, we have truly wronged our own souls, and if you do not forgive us, we will truly be among the losers. Nabi Adam's epic spiritual journey began from the state of fitra, primordial innocence, purity, and went through human forgetfulness and distractions to commit sin. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave him the ability to recognize his mistake, to regret, to be filled with remorse, and to plead for forgiveness, and finally to earn redemption. All this is geographically and vividly recalled on this in the Hajj. Brothers and sisters, if you have not yet undertaken this blessed journey, make your intention, your niyyah, to do so, inshallah, as soon as possible. Hajj is truly a journey of a lifetime. Hajj takes us not only on a journey tracing the spiritual history of Islam, it also symbolizes the journey each and every one of us must undertake to find our own center in the Kaaba of our heart. What desires, what emotions and passions are circling, making tawaf around our spiritual heart, the qalb, the locus of our personality. Let's make sure that it is surrounded by loving thoughts of remembrance of our most beloved, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only when we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with love and gratitude that our hearts will ever find lasting peace and contentment. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan wa rizqna ittiba'ah. Wa arina al-batila batilan wa rizqna ijtinabah. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa' wa min qalbin la yakhsha' wa min nafsin la tashba' wa min da'watin la yustajabu laha. Allahumma anzah hubb ad-dunya min qulubina. اللهم انصر دينك وكتابك وسنة نبيك وأوليائك الصالحين. اللهم نعوذ بك من الربا والزنا والظلم والغش والكذب والبغي والعدوان. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم واشكروه على النعم يزدكم. ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح. قامت الصلاة قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
استقيموا رحمكم الله.